John chapter number 13, and we're starting a new mini-series for our theme for the year on living on purpose, living on purpose. And we are in John chapter number 13 today, and I knew with the Lord's Supper that we would be a little, take a little bit more time, and that's a good thing to take time for in a service. Anything to help us remember Jesus and think about him more is a good thing in our lives. And so we will dive right into John chapter number 13. Our theme for the year is living on purpose. And sometimes I wonder if we, do we live by purpose, or do we just live our lives without any rhyme or reason to it? And so purpose matters. We looked at in January discovering our purpose. For February, our purpose in relationships. I was thinking back, and I was asking the Lord, why don't we change to the purpose in giving to right now instead of having it in September like it's in the calendar there? But I don't do things like that, so we'll talk about the purpose in giving in September. So you got a while till that one will come up. But we're talking about purpose in relationships. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what relationships? This could be husband and wife. This could be kids and parents, adults and parents. This could be church members to one another. This could be coworkers. This could be any relationship that you have. This is what this will apply to over the next few weeks. John chapter number 13, when we get there, I want you to look with me at verse number 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 34 and 35. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, they should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." We go down to verse number 34, and look at what it says here. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you." Does it say a new option or a new suggestion? Does it say that? No, it says a commandment. So this is a command from God, right? Am I wrong in stating that? In the Old Testament, there were 10 commandments, right? And Jesus says, "I have a new commandment for you." And this is it. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Take a little bit of time this morning and preach on the idea of loving as Christ loved us. God set the standard for us on what love is all about. God has taught us what love is all about. We enter into this world. When I do a wedding, I mention this at the beginning of the ceremony, fairly early into it. I have the bride and the groom. I have them look out at those that are in attendance. Say, these are the people that love you, your friends, your family, and parents that are there. They taught you what love truly is all about. When you enter into this world, you don't come into this world having all the good things in life figured out. All the bad things we got figured out. I remember, the earliest years I can remember of my life and things, you know, I wasn't like John was talking about. John O'Donnell was talking the other day how he knew some things about his own birth, that he was very close to his mother. He remembered that and things like that. Those were his words exactly the other day. We don't remember way back to that time, and if you didn't get that, and you don't, like, that's not funny. That's John O'Donnell humor right there at its finest. And after almost 15 years of it, I still enjoy it. It still gets me. And so you're having a bad day, ask John O'Donnell to give you a joke. And as bad as that is, your day can only get better from there. And so, I didn't start out, "Oh, my little brother, here, have all my toys. I would love for you to play with my stuff. I love you. You're the best." Didn't work out that way. That's mine. It belongs to me. Leave my stuff alone. That's how we all are. So we learn on earth what love and generosity and those things are from our parents, because they're the first ones that introduce us to those things. And sometimes our parents might have skewed our view on some of those things, or there might be some issues there. But then when you get saved, it's God who shows you what love's all about. And he shows you, this is how I've loved you and how you can love others. Christ's love is the ultimate example of how we should love others with humility, selflessness, and intentionality. Purpose love reflects the purpose or reflects God's character and draws others to Him. And over the next few weeks, we're going to draw in on this, and today we're going to look at loving as Christ loved us. Father, bless the next few minutes that we have. Guide us, Lord. We love you. We need you. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for his love for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We see number one, the command to love. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. We see it's a command here from God. We see letter A, the fact that loving others is not optional. It's a command from Jesus. Say, oh, I'll love them if they're nice to me. That's the way this world would love. It's the way this world does it. This world, people fall in love, and a few years later, they divorce because they can't, irreconcilable differences. And as long as there's a man and a woman in a relationship, there will always be differences you cannot figure out. And that's the way it is. But love conquers and gets through things. Loving others and what God says, he doesn't say, if you can, like other places, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men. And there are times, and if it's possible, with the Lord's help, it's always possible. It doesn't say, if it's possible, love everybody. No, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Loving others is not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's a command from Jesus. And we see that there in that verse, and then we see letter B, the fact that we only love because God first loved us. And we can look at that in several different ways. We only love him because he first loved us. He is love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. We'll get to that verse in a minute. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4, 19, we love him because he first loved us. What that literally is saying, we learn how to love because God loved us. He set the example. He set the bar for us. This is what love truly is. Because in life, before some of you got saved as an adult or whatever time you got saved in your life, you might have loved somebody, or you loved your mom, your dad, you loved your spouse, whatever, but that love that you had was a very shallow love. When you know the Lord and the love that he has and realize that he's loved you well before you ever got saved, he loved you. He loves us with an everlasting love, the scriptures say. When we see from him that he loves us, we love him and we show his love to others because we've experienced his love in our lives. That's why it's so important that you serve the Lord today out of love and not out of obligation. Far too many people, I remember I gave the example before, someone I know, a great young lady, she said, I only go to church and serve the Lord out of fear. Some people do it because they want God to love them more. God can never love you more than what he loves you right now. That will never change. And when we think on that thought, that's why Paul says, the love of Christ, it constrains me. And Paul, there were many times in his ministry, shipwrecked 3 times, all the beatings that he suffered, all the persecution he went through. If he only did it out of an obligation or out of certain things, he would have stopped. But it was the love that the Lord had for him and the love of Christ that constrained him to keep serving and keep moving forward. And this morning, if we're going to love one another and in our relationships with one another, it's going to come not because people deserve that love, but because God loves us. And we want to love as he's loved us. Love is a command from God. Number two, the example of Christ's love. We see throughout the scriptures, and in all reality, the Bible is God's love letter written to you. You remember those of you that are married here, or an adult at some point, you've dated or different things, and you got a love letter, and maybe there was perfume on it. Maybe you were gone a long distance and you mailed it, and you would read that note. And sometimes you'd read that note a couple times, right? Because you wanted to see if there's any hidden meaning behind it. After Caroline and I went on a few dates, she'd give me a note, and I'm trying. I remember I had that note, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, is there more to this that I need to read this? So I read it several times. because I wanted to see and I wanted to make sense of it all there. Your love letter from God is this book right here. What it cries out over and over again, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And God just doesn't say it. His actions reflect the fact that he loves us. Letter A, we see that Christ's love is sacrificial, unconditional, and selfless. I could give you a list of about 55 different things that Christ's love is, but we had the Lord's Supper this morning, so I'm giving you three. His love sacrificial. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. I quote this verse often, but we realize this morning that God's love, we were not his friends. We were his enemies. We were at enmity with God, and God was still willing to lay down his life for us. There is no greater love. No one could ever display the love that Christ displayed with us to anyone. It's the greatest love of all time. Like we look today and those that serve our country and are willing to lay down their lives for our freedoms, that's a great love that they have. And I'm grateful for those that will sacrifice for us. But they're doing it for their own people. What if you had to give your life for the enemy? It's a different story. And Jesus was willing to do that. It's a sacrificial love. Not only was it sacrificial, it's unconditional. Romans 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul said, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. What that says in a nutshell, there is nothing that as a child of God that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can do it. The devil can't do it. You can't do it. No sin can do it. There is nothing possible once you're saved and a child of God that can separate you from God's love. It's settled. It's done. But I was bad. Nothing can separate you from his love. But I didn't do. It's not about you. It's his character. It's who he is. He loves us. You say, but I'm not worthy of loving. None of us are. And yet he loves us. That's why if we're not worthy to be loved, then we can love someone who's not worthy to be loved by us because our God in heaven loves us. Does that make sense? It's the way it should be. His love is sacrificial. It's unconditional. His love is selfless. It's not about Jesus. It's about us. It's about others. Jesus' ministry. Even John 13, as we're reading this, this is the last week of his life here on earth. He knew his hour was come. He could have went on a vacation. He could have ate the best of foods. He could have traveled the world. He could have done whatever he wanted to, but he loved those disciples. And the first thing that he does is he washes their feet. And after he washes their feet, he teaches them and gives them these thoughts. And you think about the fact he already sent Judas away. And he's telling his disciples, he says, Peter, you're going to deny me. But you know how people are going to know that you're a follower of me? By the love that you have for each other. He teaches them about not letting their heart be troubled. He spends his last hours, everything he has, pouring it into the guys that he loved. Man, I study those disciples. They didn't deserve his love. He was so patient, so long-suffering with them, just like he is with you and me this morning. He's the same way with us. But he went out of his way. It was all about, it wasn't woe is me. It's, I'm getting ready to leave. I don't want you guys to worry. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And then one of them that's been with him all this time asks a ridiculous, how do we know the way? How can you be so so ignorant? How can you be, ignorant sounds better than saying stupid. But anyways, ignorant sounds better. How could you be so ignorant and say, how are we supposed to know the way? They spent all this time. And Jesus, in his Jesus way, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Wasn't it Philip that said, "Well, just show us the Father, and it will make everything okay." Have I not been so long time with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I would have been, "You idiot, get out of here. I'm done talking to you. I'm done. But he just, "Hey, I need to go away. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to help you and guide you to all truth. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You need to abide in me. And you want to glorify your Father in heaven? You need to bear fruit. And you're only going to bear fruit as you abide in me." And then he talks about the Holy Spirit even more. And then chapter 17 of John, his prayer of intercession for the disciples. And he even mentions us in that prayer. He does all this before he even is taken to be crucified, because his whole life was not about himself. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He came and he was selfless in what he did. And that's, we aren't like that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, talking about charity, which is that agape love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity, it envies not. Love, it vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Doesn't seek its own. Is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in sin, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endures all things. Love never fails, is what it says right after that. That's where we look at people sometimes and we think the worst. Or if you love someone, you think the best. That's what the Bible says right here. Love, and that's the love that Christ has for us. Christ's love is sacrificial, it's unconditional, it's selfless. How about this? Jesus showed love through humility, let her be, such as washing the disciples' feet. I remember I'd only been pastoring a few years, and when someone will come to the church, I go make a visit and go out. Or nowadays, I don't do as much straight visits to the house, because sometimes I show up at people's houses, and they give me a look like, "What are you doing here? Hi." So I will invite them, let's go meet for coffee, or I'll come to their, I give them an option what they want to do. And that way I don't just shock them and show up at their door. And so, and then if they don't respond to me, I just show up at the door. So if you ever, you know, so if you don't respond to me and I show up at your door, you know why. You did it to yourself. Just remember that. But I went in, I was visiting this lady, and she had just started coming to our church. And I guess the church she previously went to, when she started going to it and she was going to join it, the pastor washed her feet. She's like, "Are you going to wash my feet?" I'm like, "You have a shower or a bathtub. Wash your own feet." But aren't we supposed to wash one another's feet? That's what Jesus did. But the principle behind it was not that he washed their feet. The Bible tells us in John 13, 14, and 15, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." See, right there. So let's all take our shoes and socks off and let's get ready. We'll get a big old bowl out and we'll let the deacons start. That's great. That's awesome. And then it says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Not the washing of the feet, the humility in the relationship. And you think about it. We today, we have shoes. We have nice roads and concrete, some nice roads, some roads are, you know, whatever. In Bible days, there was dirt everywhere. They were in sandals. Their feet are nasty. And then they didn't have tables like we have. Our tables, our feet are far away from our food. The way they would sit, their feet were technically not that far away. They're very low tables. And Jesus was willing to wash their feet. I love Peter's response, "Lord, not me." And he's like, "Then you have no part of me. Then wash my feet, wash my head, wash behind my ears, wash everywhere." He didn't say the ears. I added that one there. But what was Jesus doing? If the God of heaven, our Master and Lord, could in humility serve and love his disciples, then why can't we do the same? Jesus showed love through humility. How about this one? Let her see his ultimate act of love was giving his life on the cross for us. Romans 5:8, and for some reason not there in your notes, but it says, greater love, not that's John 15:13. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God displayed his love while we were sinners. Not when we started doing better, while we were his enemy, he died for us. His love. And when we think about Christ's love, it means loving others who are difficult to love. Isn't that what Jesus did? He did. Remember those lepers? They're unclean. I would want to get nowhere near a leper. But Jesus did. Those that were broken, those that were hurting, those in sin, Jesus loved them. And his love changed their life. Mary Magdalene had several devils inside of her. She was taken in the very act of adultery. And those Pharisees brought her to Jesus and said, she's committed adultery, she deserves to die. What was Jesus' response? He could have picked up a stone and killed her because he was sinless. He says, hey, go and sin no more. And his love changed her life. And she was never the same. Peter was never the same. Peter, a fisherman, a tax collector in Matthew. Who knew there was any hope for any tax collectors at any time in the world? And he wrote a whole book of the Bible. God's love changes people. But Christ's love is loving others who are difficult to love. Say, Pastor, I just have a hard time loving that person. The Lord loves you, and the Lord loves them. Say, Pastor, I do have a difficult time with so-and-so. You know the best thing you can do? Pray for so-and-so. Put them at the top of your prayer list. Right now. Is there someone you have a hard time loving in your family or in your, we'll skip family for right now. In your church family, is there someone you have a hard time being around and putting up with? Christian, this is not the time to look at your wife or anything like you do at those other times. I'm helping you out, buddy, helping you out. I want you to put that person number one on your prayer list. After you pray and thank the Lord and adore him, say, Lord, help me to love so-and-so the way you love me. And you know what he will do? It will happen. There are people that annoy me, and I've added them to the top of my list, and it doesn't take long for it to stop. Dolly, you and I are great now. So I saw you giving that look over there. No, you were never on the list. If you were on the list, I wouldn't have used your name. So that was just a joke there. Love others who are difficult. How about forgiving someone who's wronged you? That's what Jesus would do. They haven't said they're sorry. Crucify him. He's not our king. He deserves to die. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Oh, but I'll forgive them when they ask me. It shouldn't take someone to ask you. You should forgive them because Christ's forgiven you. Remember that parable, where am I at on time? I'm running out of time, and I've said way more. For some reason, the second time around with this message, there's a lot more that comes into my mind that wasn't there in the first service. Remember that parable, how the one man owed, in our money today, millions of dollars, and the guy forgave him. And let him get away with it and say, I forgive you, you're done with it. When the man left, he saw a man out there that owed him a couple dollars. And the man didn't have the couple dollars. He had him thrown in prison and had all these things done to him. And word got back to the one who had forgiven the most. And he said, he'd thrown him in prison, said he handed him over to the tormentors. Do you know what the tormentors are? Bitterness. So many people will not forgive, and you hold on to it, and it buries deep down inside in that bitterness. You are tormenting yourself by not forgiving and moving past things, and it's only hurting you. Jesus forgave you, so also do ye, and we need to forgive others. That's what his love is all about. Christ's love and Christ-like love is serving without expecting anything in return. When you serve someone, I just want them to say thank you. Do we see any of the disciples tell Jesus thank you for anything that he did? Not one time. All the lepers that he healed, there was one that came back. What are you expecting? In what ways does your love reflect Christ's love in the relationships that you have? See, number one, we see the command to love. We see the example of Christ's love. And number three, the impact of Christ's love. The impact of Christ's love. Letter A, and we're just about done here. Love is the defining characteristic of a disciple of Jesus. Love is. A disciple is a committed follower of Jesus. You remember, the disciples began as disciples, and then they were apostles. Apostles have to have been called by Jesus himself. You and I today are to be disciples and follow Jesus. Not apostles, disciples. But there are a lot of Christians, they're not disciples. They're just the fair-weather fans. So I was mentioning the Chiefs and things. So my daughter, my only daughter, my beautiful, precious girl, my baby girl, my she's next to Caroline. She's down there, right down close by. I love this girl, and she likes the Kansas City Chiefs. And in all honesty, did you just clap, Billy? You got baptized on Wednesday, and you're doing that? We're going to rebaptize you. I'm just going to hold you under anyways. But where was I going with it? But she's not a fan because she likes football. There's another reason behind it. But this is the thing. She couldn't name 10 players. Well, I could name Kelsey and Mahomes. Can you name anybody else? Who? Worthy. Worthy. Is there a guy named Worthy on the team? Oh. Okay. They're not my team. I'm not going to know anything about the Chiefs. I just know I'm tired of them winning. You ask me about the Chargers, I could name probably 30 or 40 players. And I'm a committed fan that's been a fan for years. Matthew quit liking the Chargers. He's a Bengals fan now. And he's like, Dad, I want a winning team. I'm like, have you seen the Bengals ever win before? No. The Chargers haven't won. The Chargers probably will never win, but they're my team. I'm going to stick with them. It's just like Michael over here. Sorry, Michael, to throw you into the mix. Not Michael Rosales, but Michael Fischetti. He loved the Angels, and now he's a Dodger fan. And he's just following in his dad's footsteps. Or they won the championship, and now he's a Dodger fan. So there are those fair-weather fans. And then there are people who are committed. Most Christians, when life goes good and everything's great, they're just a fan of Jesus. There are very few Christians who are actually committed followers of Jesus. And you want to know the difference between a committed follower of Jesus and someone who's just a fan of Jesus? How you treat other people. It's not about carrying your Bible in your hand, wearing a tie to church, walking into church on Sunday morning. It is known, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Like, we shouldn't have to, shouldn't have to put a sign outside that says this is a church. When people walk in the door and spend time around the people that go to this church, they should know that this church is full of people that love the Lord based on our love for each other. And it's sad that there are many times that it's not the case. But that shows that we're not really a committed follower of Jesus Christ if that's not the case. It's a defining characteristic. Love one another. I mean, think about the fact that purposeful love draws people to Christ and demonstrates the power of the gospel. You know what draws men to Christ, to repentance? The goodness of God leads to repentance. I use the example, Caroline likes to go to the Rose Parade, and I understand that. You know, when she was a kid and living in Minnesota, they had parades in their cities, and I remember visiting her, we were dating, and she's like, there's going to be a parade. Oh, a parade, okay. And we went out to this parade. There's like kids riding on their bicycles, and then the big, most exciting thing is the completely clean trash truck. That was like the best part of the parade. So I understand why she likes the Rose Parade so much. You know that trash truck was like the spectacle of it. It was the most special part. And so last year we took the kids with us, and William absolutely loved it. No, none of them. They all didn't like the cold. They didn't want to go. And I thought, great, I'll take Caroline. We did that this year. Right where we, you know, you have all those people that walk down the street. Turn or burn, you know, turn or burn, yeah. You know, you trust Jesus or God's wrath is going to send you to hell. Is that true? There's truth in that. But I don't believe the greatest way to get people to Jesus is to remind them about the wrath of God. And to tell them, and the sins that they live, it's, I've got grossed out just reading the signs about the different sins. You need to repent of these sins and turn to Jesus. I think you do much better starting out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, is there truth that needs to be dealt with? Yes. But the love of Christ and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Not the other way around. And people need to see that. When you go to the grocery store, when you do whatever you do, do you show the love of Christ? And it's hard, but we need to. A couple points of application, we need to be done. Number one, reflect on how you love others. Are you modeling Christ's love? Take some time this week and think through, how do I love others? How do I love my spouse? How do I love my kids? How do I love my fellow church members? How do I love my coworkers? It says you're to love one another, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? You know, I have to love you, but I don't have to like you right now, or something like that. And maybe it's like that, I don't know. But reflect on how you love others. Are you modeling Christ's love? Number two, identify one relationship where you can practice unconditional love this week. Now, Pastor, that's too hard. Did you know? This will help you. God's given you something called the Holy Spirit. And he lives inside of you. You know what the very first fruit of the Spirit is? It's love. So he's given you the ability to love someone unconditionally this week through the power of his Spirit. Isn't that amazing? And yet we don't do it. Find one relationship. Start there. Number three. Pray daily, asking God to help you love others as he loves you. Yesterday morning, the PD I helped, they had their Run for Us, so they block off streets, and I get to go out there, and I watch a street, but I also get to encourage all the runners as they go by. And it's kind of crazy. I had a ton of people coming up to me. Oh, you're Pastor Brian. They're hugging me as they're running through the thing. I don't even know half these people. So I'm like, oh, hopefully I make a good. But the street I was on, I hadn't showed up to the past couple things that they had done, so they put me on Benson and Chino. And tons of people need to get to work there, and me by myself. So people are so ornery. You know, I knew before I got there, I prayed before I got out of my bed at 5:15 yesterday, Lord, help me show others your love, even those ones that are going to irritate me out there. You know, the street says road closed. That's pretty easy to understand, right? Road closed. And they pull up and they're like, I need to turn right. I said, I can let you go straight if you work up ahead. But if you don't, you cannot. I told you I need to turn right. I said, the road is blocked. I'm sorry. And I'm very sorry you can't turn right. Well, I'm going to do it anyways. I said, there is a motorcycle officer right around the corner. And that motorcycle officer will give you a ticket if you do that. So I would just go. I helped him. This guy didn't have his phone. His phone didn't have GPS. And he was older. So I'm drawing a map on his thing at his car, helping him go a different way to get to where he needs to. And it happened over and over, just people. Daily through your day, people are going to irritate you. They're going to whatever the. Show people the love of Jesus in your relationships. You say, but they don't show it to me. That's the point. And I tell you this, if you start showing in your relationships, they might start showing in their relationships. But if you only do it so they'll show it in their relationship, you're missing the whole point on why you do it. Ask the Lord to help you. And I promise you this, if you ask him to help you, he will help you. A commandment given to us to love one another. Christ set the bar on what love truly is. And if we're going to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to love one another. When people visit our church or come into our church for the first time, they should know there's something different in this place, not because we promote it or say it, but they see those people love one another. Most churches, and even at times our church, is like Congress. Can't get along for nothing. We're not Congress. We're followers of Jesus Christ. So let's love one another and do what the Lord has for us. Father, we thank you for your love and all that you do. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the love you have for us. And Lord, you're an amazing, awesome God. Thank you for loving us when we're not lovable. Thank you for being there. And thank you for what your love has done in our lives. And Lord, help each of us take the heart, the truths today. Help us apply it to our lives and our hearts and help us to move forward for you. Lord, I pray if there's someone that doesn't know your love, they would come to a saving knowledge of who you are. Lord, that you do a work in each of us and help us this week to show your love to someone else. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. About 20 minutes, our afternoon service will begin.